We're going in our Bibles to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And we're going to look at some things that I believe are important for us, not only for today, but every day. As we journey through life, as we read the Bible, at least I know that when I read the Bible, I always look at that and I see some things that speak to me. And I say, well, you know what, I need to make some adjustments here. Because once you read it, you're responsible, right? Because now you read it, you can't say, well, I didn't know. Because you read it. I need to make adjustments here. So I find the Bible works very much like a GPS. It tells you where you are. It's a kind of a locator to tell you where you are. And that's what I want to look at this morning. Somebody said, you teach what you know, but you reproduce what you are.
Yes.
Well, that makes a whole lot of difference to how we approach things. Because in the end, you're going to reproduce who you are.
Yes.
That's an important thing to think about. So with all of that in mind, I want to answer that question, why do we need to grow up spiritually? And I hope that as we go through some things, that we will be able to locate ourselves and say, well, you know what? I need to do something here. I need to do something about this and that and the other thing. Because we don't want to lose what we have.
No.
We don't want to lose our marriages. It's tragic, tragic that the statistics today tell us that divorce rate within the church is exactly the same as the divorce rate outside the church. It ought not to be so. So with all of that in mind, let's look into that. So we read from Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11. Very well known. I believe everybody knows this part of the Bible. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11. And he himself, talking about Jesus now, gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So here we have, let's say, the pastor's job description. This is what the pastor must do. First of all, the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. So what we do here, as we teach from the Bible, that's what we do. We equip the saints. Now, when you read saints, you of course you know he's talking about you, right?
Amen. Amen.
He's not talking about Saint Peter and Saint this and Saint that. He's talking about Saint you.
Amen.
For the edifying of the body of Christ, that means to give us the spiritual nourishment that we need to grow and be strong. Well, you know that when you're born again, you come into the kingdom, you surrendered your life to Jesus. The Bible says you become a new creation. Well, that new creation is spiritually a baby. Even if you get saved when you're 90 years old, you're a spiritual baby. Because you're going to start something brand new, which is totally different to growing up in the natural. Now you got to grow your spirit, man. And for that you need spiritual food, which is the word of God. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. That's spiritual food. That's your spiritual nourishment. That is edification. It edifies and satisfies us. Verse 13, till we all come to the unity of the faith. We all come to the unity of the faith. So this business of, well, you know, that's how I believe. And the next person says, well, you know, that's the way I believe. Well, there's only one way to believe, and that's what the Bible says.
Right.
You can't. Apostle Peter says it's not a matter of private interpretation.
Right.
Yeah, you got to interpret what the Bible says. You can't go with, put water with the wine and dilute things to make it easier. There's a lot of things that are not easy in the Bible. You know, it's like, it's just the same as in the natural. Not everybody likes the broccoli on their plate.
Mm-hmm.
They like the meat and the potatoes. But you need the broccoli. And, the rest of it. Because it's the nourishment that we need to grow strong. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect man. To a perfect man. Isn't that something? To a perfect man. Do you know that God's dream for every one of you, he's talking to you personally now, is that Christ be formed in you. That's the goal. Do you know that? God's not looking for you to be a nice Christian girl and boy. He's looking for Christ to rise up inside of you.
Amen.
So that's the goal. That's where we're heading. Every one of us. That is where God wants to take you and me. Till Christ is formed in you. And the Apostle Paul says to the Galatians, he says, my little children for who I labor again until Christ is formed in you. That's hard labor. Well, he's talking about labor pains, giving birth. So until Christ is formed in you. To a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Fullness of Christ. So we're talking about the GPS, right, this morning. We're talking about locating ourselves spiritually. So we're on this journey. We came in as sinners, every one of us. A lot of baggage and stuff that we carry with us in our heads and our hearts and the habits and things we do and appetites and addictions, whatever. Everybody has baggage. So now we come in into the family of God and we got to start this journey. And the end of this journey is for us to come to a place where the Bible says the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So that's the end goal. Are you all with me?
Yes.
All right. That's where God's taking us. He wants us to come to a place where he says, I can see Christ in you. He's not looking for good Christian people. He's not looking for good Christian people. That's not the goal. He's not looking for religious people. He's not interested in religious people. He wants to see that we get to a place where Christ can be seen in us. Well, just by saying that, this is going to be a rough journey. It's not going to be easy because we have some stuff to drop and we have some things to cut off. You know, Bible talks about pruning. And Jesus even says that even if you do bear fruit, God's going to prune you anyway because he wants more fruit. So that's the way it is.
Thank you.
I wish I could tell you, this is going to be the easiest thing I've ever done. But I have to be honest with you. It's not going to be easy. The good thing is the Lord will help you. Because that is his dream for you. And he's going to come alongside and make it possible. We just sang that all things are possible. We just sang that. All things are possible. So we can. God's not going to give us this goal if it's totally impossible. Right? He's going to give us something that is possible.
Yes.
Verse 14, that we should no longer be children. We should no longer be children. That's not, God doesn't want, he doesn't want us to be children. He wants us to grow up into the fullness the stature of Christ. That's where he wants to go. So now we need to move from being an infant to a toddler to a child to a teenager. How many of you are teenagers? Well, let me tell you something. In the family of God, there's a lot of spiritual teenagers and toddlers and two-year-olds and babies that need the bottle all the time. We'll get into some of that. Verse 14, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. You don't believe everything that people tell you. As a matter of fact, I want to tell you that you don't believe anything I tell you. Because what I tell you, you need to check in your Bible to see if it's so.
Amen.
And then you believe what you read in the Bible.
Amen.
Don't believe what I tell you. That's why we want you to bring your Bible with you. So that you can see for yourself. That we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. So when you hear something, you say, well, I better check that out. I need to check that out to see if it is so. And if it isn't, even if it comes in the most eloquent, beautiful language, you don't believe it. The most charismatic preacher. You don't believe anything that that person says unless you saw it in the Bible yourself.
Amen.
Don't be fooled by charismatic, fluent speakers.
Right.
The devil knows how to package his stuff.
Amen.
Carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. See, that's how it happens. But speaking the truth in love. Now, I just need to say that you can speak the truth. But speaking the truth in love is a little different than just speaking the truth.
Yes.
Now, you can speak the truth and kill somebody.
Right.
But if you speak the truth in love, you'll reach them and draw them in.
Yes.
It's the love that you know, God is love.
Mm.
And we cannot use the New Testament and make a law of it and put burdens on people's lives. If that desire to be like him isn't there, it's going to be a drag. I'll be honest with you. It's just not going to be easy or possible. It's that desire. Yeah, I want to be like him. I don't like the old me. All things have passed away. Thank God for that. How many of you are glad that things passed away? Well, you know what the Bible says? If you don't, you'll have an opportunity to go back there.
Right.
You kind of make a clean cut. I'm done with that. But speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things. May grow up in all things. Let's all say that. Grow up in all things. Into him who is the head, Christ. So here is where we're going this morning. But speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things. All things includes your personal life. It includes your marriage. It includes your finances. It includes raising your children. It includes your relationships with your colleagues and your friends and your neighbors and your family and all of that. It includes all things. May grow up in all things.
Amen.
All things means all things.
Right.
May grow up in all things into him. So he's going to be the example because we want to be like him.
Yes.
May grow up in all things into him who is the head. Christ, talking about the head of the church, it's Christ. So, having said all of that, I have a few things that I thought. I see this journey as a lot of steps that you take. You cannot jump over the canyon in one jump. You got to take steps. So from the moment we come into the kingdom of God, we become members of the family of God, till where Christ is formed in us, there are going to be lots of steps in between. We grow step by step. And sometimes we're discouraged because we see that goal is way too high. That's not for me. I cannot do that. You know, I just can't. Well, but if you take it a step at a time, well, things become a little more practical. And there are some things that we need to work through as we grow. Thank God it's a process of growth. I tell you, if we had to do it in one go, nobody would make it. And even so, the Bible says, thank God for that, that God will finish that job on the last day. I won't be surprised if my mother told me you were actually born in the church during the service, because we were always there. I grew up in a church. And I've been out of the church in you know, when I left home, I left church for a few months, and it was a wilderness out there. Came back. God just jerked me back right into it. Thank God for that. But in all those years, I've never seen a perfect Christian. Now, I don't mean to insult anybody here, but I've never seen a perfect Christian. And don't try and come and be perfect, dear, because sooner than you think, you'll find out that you haven't arrived. And it may hurt a little bit. The lesson that I've learned is it pays to be humble. Yes. Man, it pays to be humble. Don't try to be somebody. Just be humble. Mm. You know, if you're humble, you go through life a lot easier. A lot easier. I wasn't always humble. I know, that's why I know. I thought I was a perfectionist. And I tried to be a perfectionist. I wonder how many people we have here that are perfectionists. I lost a job once because I thought I was a perfectionist. And I went for the interview and it just went well. And then the question came, are you a perfectionist? And I thought that's what they wanted to hear. I said, yes. He said, we're not looking for a perfectionist. And God's not looking for perfectionists. He's looking for people that are humble. Do you know that Jesus had to humble himself? And then God raised him up and gave him a name that's above every name. And for that reason, I've been a little slow with adopting titles and standing on a pedestal and be taller than everybody else. Because I've seen, man, if you come down, the higher you were up, the more it hurts. But if you're down there at the bottom and you stumble, you can recover a lot easier. But that's not part of where I'm going this morning. That's free. You don't have to pay for that. That's free. So let's go through some steps here. Why do we have to grow up spiritually? Point number one. Because when we grow up spiritually, we have hope in us in a world that is confused. Because we know where we're going. We know I'm not part of this mess. We know that. Thank God for that. You know, when I look at what's going on in the world, sometimes it's a little overwhelming. This place is falling apart, people. But I have no anxiety. I have no fear. I have none of that, because inside of me is Christ, the hope of glory. I know I'm not part of this. I know God will take care of me. And I know this confusion is not coming to me. I have direction. I have vision. I have goals. And I'm on my way there. Yes. Hope. It sometimes when we look at Christians that have been around a while, and something happens in the world, and it may not be a big thing. It may just be their political party didn't win. Now they're shaken. They worry. They're troubled. What's going to happen? I don't like this government. I don't like this prime minister. You know, what's going to happen to us? And now I'm losing hope. But I'm not part of that system. Amen. I'm not part of that system. I'm part of God's system.
Amen.
And God's system will never fail.
Amen.
This kingdom that God is building inside of us and one day will manifest on the earth, the Bible says, will never pass away.
Amen.
And I'm part of that system.
Amen.
Boy, let me tell you, there were times when it seemed like we were failing in different areas of life. But because inside of us, there was something that always gave us hope. Yeah, I didn't know the answers, but there was hope inside of me. And because of that hope, we could pull through.
Amen.
But if you don't have hope, you become part of the confusion, and then you will fail. And that's one reason why I think it is impossible for us to invest the time and the effort to grow our spiritual man. How do we grow our spiritual man? We feed on the Word of God. The more we digest, the more we read it, the more we study it, the more God's thinking will come into our heads, the more we will understand that even as David said, 1,000 fall at my side and 10,000 at my right hand, it will not come to me.
Amen.
There's hope. There were times when it looked like the devil, he got the better of us. And then we found out later on, he failed, not us.
Amen.
He failed. Amen.
Amen.
Hope in a confused world also means this. There's a verse in Proverbs that says, the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
The steps. Now that gives me hope.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know what's going to happen at step 10 from today. I have no clue. I know where I'm going, but I don't know the journey. I don't know the potholes. I don't know the hills and whatever's got waiting for me. I have no clue. But it doesn't really matter. Because I know step by step, God will order my steps.
Yes.
And that gives me hope. I'm not going to fail because step number 15 looks like I will never make it. I can't get through that. I'm not going to be busy in my head with step number 15. My attention is on the next step, and God will order it for me. He'll show me where to put my foot. He'll give me the decision that I need to make when I get there. People sometimes ask me, you know, what will you do there and there? Well, I say, I don't know. They think, well, this pastor has no vision. Oh, I have vision. I know where I'm going. I know where I'm going. But I don't know the next steps. But that doesn't matter because God knows. He's the one that orders our steps because he knows the future better than we know the past. Let's move on. Point number two. Why do I have to grow up spiritually? Because when I grow up spiritually, my faith grows. My faith grows.
Amen.
And that's a good thing because when I have faith in God, I have faith in God's love for me. I have faith in God's ability, then in a bad situation, I have faith for a good outcome.
Amen.
Things look bad. I don't know where this thing is heading. Things look bad. And the devil wants to stir up fear inside of me. But now he finds this faith in God and God's love for me. As a matter of fact, God loved us so much that he gave his only son to die for us. Now the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, how will he not with him freely give us all things? It's that love that God has for us that strengthens my faith in a bad situation. Say, yeah, it looks bad. Sometimes faith people say, well, there's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong. They're limping. Well, how are you doing? I'm fine. Well, you're not fine. You don't look fine. So it doesn't help to lie, but inside of me, I can say, yeah, things don't look good. But God will show me the exit out of this thing. But if you're spiritually infant and you have no faith, you'll sink, man. You'll sink. I've seen through my years in ministry and in the church, Lord, the people that I've seen fail in so many aspects of life, they failed because they didn't have the little bit of trust in God. They will pull you out of this mess. They just succumbed to the circumstances and failed. Unnecessary. Nobody here has to fail. Nobody. You put your trust in God, and it doesn't matter what the devil stacks up against you. You say to yourself, I will get out of this mess. God can turn this thing around to glorify his name. And I will believe him. He did make a promise. God himself made a promise. And he says, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. Well, that's something to hold on to. Number three, why do I need to grow up spiritually? You see, when we're spiritual babies and toddlers and infants, toddlers and children, we get hurt very easily. The smallest little thing is a big issue. Fall flat on your face, little skin off your knee. You're going to cry for 2-3 hours about that. Well, when you grow up, you don't bother with that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You don't bother with that. But that's why we need to be strong spiritually. Because this is a dangerous road.
Yes.
Because the moment you accepted Christ, what happened at the same time, by default, is the devil became your enemy. He's coming for you. He's coming for you. And he doesn't play by the rules. He's nasty.
Yeah.
He doesn't play by rules. He doesn't care about what he does and your feelings, all of that. So we need to grow strong. So when the hurt comes, and it will come. Mm-hmm. It will come.
Yes.
You'll say, what? We'll get over that. It's not the end of the world. I won't die. I'm not going to die spiritually because some other Christian messed up. I'm not going to die because something went wrong. I didn't get my way. It doesn't look good on you when you're 50 years old and you throw a tantrum of a 2-year-old. It just doesn't look good.
Yes.
It doesn't look good on you. You don't get your way, you throw a tantrum. Or you stage a protest. I'm in protest now. Well, you don't do that. As an adult, you face the music, right?
Yes. Four of us.
Well, I don't always agree with myself. And neither do you. I wake up in the morning, I feel this is the way I think about the situation. And by the end of the day, I feel different. I differ from what I felt this morning. And I have to live with that. Now, everybody else is like that. What do you think is going to happen in the church? We're going to differ all the time. But it doesn't help to throw a tantrum now. Well, I know I'm not preaching to anybody here. I'm just preaching to those people on the internet. We're not easily hurt, and we're not easily scared. We're not easily scared. I tell you, one of the greatest freedoms I have learned. Look, you have no idea what it is to stand in this pair of shoes. You have no clue. If you're prone to sleepless nights, come to me, I'll tell you what that is. But I've learned. And my wife will tell you, when my head hits that pillow, I'm gone. Because I turn that thing off and I say, you know what, I can't fix it anyway. That's God's problem. The more I stay out of it, the better. I sleep well. I sleep well. Because you learn as time goes on that I will not be scared by what I see. We sang this morning, and I thought, well, you know what? God's beginning to prepare us for this now. He says, I don't move by what I feel. And I'm not moved by what I see. The devil's going to show you some things to scare you. But I'm not easily scared. Because I've learned when God said, I'll never leave you, that he actually meant that. And I'll never forsake you. He meant that.
Yes.
And I can trust him. Well, that's a good thing about growing up. Is things don't easily bother you. You know, when you know where you're going, you don't really worry about the journey. Now, if you watch television ads, especially when they talk about, when they advertise cars and so on, they'll tell you the journey is the goal. But that's not true. That's not true. Don't you believe that? The goal is where God's going to perfect us to a place where we, where Christ can be seen in us. And it'll be a little messy getting there. There's a lot of messy stuff going on in this walk. We say, well, I don't have to deal with that now. Why did that happen? Why did that happen? That I need that. Yes. So that I could learn to get over it. Because if you don't learn to get over it, it will come again.
Right.
And again, and again. And one thing we need to learn as we grow up is you have to set your feelings aside. Look, I'm here to do a job. God called me to do this or that, whatever it is. Everybody's different, and that's what I'm going to do. Do I feel like it? No. I don't feel like it. I don't want to do that. Not always. But you got to do it. I told Mike this morning that two doors away from us, there are people there that like to party sometimes in the summer. In summer, all the windows are open, it's hot. And then they party till 5 o'clock on a Sunday morning. I don't sleep. And not only that, I'm not only tired, I'm also angry. Because of they're not considerate people. They just think about themselves. Do you think after a night like that, I like to come stand here in front of you? But you've never noticed that. Because I've learned to set my feelings aside and focus on my job that God called me to do. That's the main thing in life, is to fulfill my purpose. And feelings need to go, because feelings are there. Feelings are of the flesh. They see it in the flesh. And boy, it hurts at times. It hurts. It's emotions and pain and anger and all of that. But we cannot be moved by any of that, because we're growing up and we're focusing on our call. Amen. Amen. So, don't you give that person a piece of your mind? Because some people have given out so many pieces of their mind, there's not much left. Sometimes the best way to respond to nonsense is to shut up. Just shut up. Thank God we don't always have to say something. Sometimes you just say quiet. You know what? I don't have to get involved in that. If I say something, we're just going to increase the mess.
That's right.
Just stay out of it. Just say nothing. It'll go away. Just say nothing. All right. Let's go to number four. As we grow up, with that growing up comes an awareness of responsibility. I become aware that I have responsibility. It changes my whole approach to everything. I'm responsible. And I'm accountable. I'm accountable to flesh and blood. But I'm also accountable to God.
Amen.
Everybody is accountable. I don't care what title you adopt for yourself. But you're going to be accountable to flesh and blood. And look somebody in the eye and give an answer.
Yes.
Everybody is accountable because we're responsible. So with growing up becomes a responsibility. And I just want to borrow a phrase from President John F. Kennedy, where he said, and I just want to adapt it to church life. Don't think what the church can do for me. Think what I can do for the church.
Yes.
Because there's responsibility there. Look, the church is the body of Christ. And the Bible teaches us that every one of us has something to contribute. Do I feel like it? No. I don't always feel like that. Do I always like it? No. I don't always like it. But I'm responsible.
Yes, amen.
And therefore, I will do it. Because one day I'll stand before God and give account. And then I would love to say, you know, Jesus, do you think his life on earth was easy? No. Boy, he had the miracles. It must have been great to see all those miracles. Here is wonderful teaching, just sitting at his feet like Mary did. But there was a side to it where the Pharisees hated him. The scribes hated him. The devil was there to tempt him, bring tough challenges to him. Yet, in his last prayer, he prayed these words, and he says, Father, I have done all that you gave me to do. That's the way to go. I think he set an example. We want to grow up into him. That's the way to die. I have done all that you gave me to do. You don't want to say that I wanted to do that, but it hurt my feelings so much. I could not. You know, I always said, all these years, I always said, when you Christian, you got to grow a skin like a rhinoceros. You got to grow a thick skin, man. Then I heard somebody say, no, we don't need a thick skin. We need dead flesh. That's how you make it. Kill that sucker. Die. You die. I don't want to do it. You're dead. You're dead. I don't care about your feelings. You're dead. Number five. When we grow up spiritually, more is entrusted to us. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing. How many times do we read? To him who has more, more will be given. Somebody years ago, he found out that we, in our church, we give to people that are pretty successful in ministry. And he didn't like that idea because he wanted us to invest in his ministry, and he was not successful. So he said, well, how can you give to these people that are so successful and so on? I said, well, it works a little bit like the stock market. Are you going to invest in a stock that is falling? Or are you going to invest in one that grows? I think that answers the question. And that's why I want to be somebody that God can invest in. And trust more. The guy that buried his one talent, even what he had was taken away from him. But the one that had the 10 and had the ability to double it, he said, give it to him. And as we grow spiritually and we become more responsible and we learn to set our feelings and our fears aside, God says, well, I can entrust more to you. I'll make you a steward. I'll make you a ruler in my kingdom. I will entrust more to you. How many of you want more entrusted to you? I'll just raise both hands. Number 6, as we grow up spiritually, and of course we understand growing spiritually is learning to do things God's way and not our way. Amen. With that comes wisdom, because the Bible, you know, Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Proverbs says, wisdom comes from the mouth of God. Wisdom. And wisdom brings good consequences. It teaches you to make good decisions that will bring good results. That's part of growing up, is we learn some wisdom. Now, wisdom is not actually something that you learn. You know, some things are taught, but other things are caught. That's wisdom. You just get in on the flow of it. Just you get in the flow of how God does things. And when you get into that flow, you find out, oh boy, things are going well. This is God's way. Wisdom. And it brings good benefits to us. When we grow up, it helps us to make some good decisions. When you refuse to grow up, you're going to find yourself in a lifestyle that becomes a lifestyle of damage control. You're always busy fixing up some mess. And you go from one mess to the next. And it's your life. It becomes your life. It's just a lifestyle of fixing up a mess. Well, let me tell you, that's not cool.
No.
It's not nice. But it pays to make some wise decisions. Just do it God's way. Amen. You know, he knows it all. Don't argue with him. Just do what he tells you to do.
Yes.
Even if it makes no sense. Bill Winston says the Bible was not given to make sense. It was given to make faith.
Amen.
It helps to know that. Wise decisions bring wise results. Oh, man. You don't want to spend your prayer life asking God to get you out of the mess. You don't want to spend your prayer life just struggling to meet needs. You've got better things to invest your life into. And doing things God's way will just release you to develop all the potential that's inside of you to accomplish some good things. I wish I could spend the whole morning talking on every one of these points. Number seven. And I'm not going to stay here all afternoon, so. Number seven. When you grow up spiritually, the opinions of other people don't count.
Right.
Boy, let me tell you, what a freedom.
Yeah.
If you don't care what people think of you.
Oh.
Thank God, because I tell you, that ruined my early life. I was so concerned about the opinions of people. What would they think of me? Well, today I say, who cares? Who cares? Let them think what they want to think. They think it anyway. Let me tell you, if you're a Christian, the people out there think you're a fool anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
You can just like as well act like one. Yeah, I do trust God.
Yes.
I don't care about the opinions of other people. The only opinion that counts is God's opinion.
Yeah.
No other opinion counts. Don't be moved by what people say to you, about you, in your face, behind your back. It doesn't matter. I heard somebody say, don't worry when people talk behind your back. There's a reason why they're behind you. Don't be moved by what people think or their opinions. You cannot be steered into a direction by the opinions of people. You got to go where God wants to take you. Number eight. Yes, another one that brings freedom beyond belief. You don't always have to be right. You don't have to be right all the time. You don't have to be. And you won't be. You can just as well accept the fact and enjoy it. Yeah, you'll make mistakes. So what? I made a mistake. So what? Tomorrow you make a mistake. We're not going to talk about your mistakes. Everybody makes mistakes because nobody's perfect yet. It's the freedom that God gives you, because if you are scared to make a mistake, you'll never do anything. You'll never step out in faith. You'll never accomplish anything great because you are too concerned about making a mistake. Yeah, we make mistakes. I make mistakes. I probably make more mistakes in this church than anybody else because I do more. Yeah, I make mistakes. And the freedom that I enjoy since I realized I am free to make a mistake, you'll never understand. I don't always have to be right. Sometimes when I realize I made a mistake, I say, well, yeah, we need to fix it. We need to talk about it. But thank God we can move on. I don't always have to be right. I'm so glad that I'm amongst people that understand that, most of the time at least. I remember a time way back when we in our board meeting, one of our board members said, well, I don't really agree with you, but I will support you. And I said, God, thank you for a mature person. Thank you for not insisting to be right. Thank you, God. Sometimes, you know, trying to be right all the time messes up some good things among us. I'm almost done. Number nine. When you grow up spiritually, you're not easily distracted from your goal. You focus, you zoom in on that thing, you focus on it, and then you go for it. Apostle Paul, after what he went through, you would think, you know, somehow you would think, well, God's blessing is not really on me. I need to get out of this. I've been thrown into prison how many times, beaten up, stoned, 3 nights in the deep, shipwrecked, all of that. It doesn't look like God is with me. He told, at the end of your life, he said, I have not been disobedient to the heavenly vision. you don't become distracted because things get tough.
Right.
You don't get distracted. You move on. Number 10. When you're secure in yourself, you know that you are growing. Yeah, you got to feel good in your skin. And yeah, you know, we're all different. We're all unique. And it's okay to be different. It's okay. You have to be different. We can't all be the same. But we can still appreciate each other and our differences. But be unique. Be secure in yourself, especially as a Christian and who you are in Christ, your identity in Christ. You be secure in that. Quickly, John 7, 29. Boy, Jesus had this thing. I don't want to read all of that. John 7, just the one verse. They were challenging him. He says in John 7, 29, he says, "But I know him," talking about the Father, "for I am from him, and he sent me." I know him. Because I am from him, and he sent me, and therefore I feel good and secure in him. I know my identity in him. And I'm not going to try to be someone else or copy someone else. I know who I am, and I know what I'm here for, and that's what I'm going to do. Last point. There's a different value system. The value system, when you grow up spiritually, is different from that of the world. What the world will appreciate means nothing to you. The Apostle Paul said, "Those things that were dear to me, that I thought were special, I count them as rubbish today." They're rubbish. Apostle John says, if you love the stuff of the world, the love of God's not in you. It's a different value system. Jesus said, if you're not faithful in earthly things, who will give you the true riches? The true riches come from heaven. They're not down here. That's the value system that we're after. When you grow up spiritually, the stuff of the world, there's a chorus that we sing. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of the world will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. That's the true riches we're after. As we grow up spiritually, we know that's the goal. That is where I want to, what I really want to enrich myself with, is to have that. Those spiritual riches. Stuff. Boy, I tell you, 3 years ago we moved from a bigger house to a smaller house, and the stuff. And it's still in our basement in boxes after 3 years. We never needed any of that. Amen. Now we realize, why do you accumulate all that stuff for? It becomes a problem now. Once it was a goal, now it's a problem. George has moved. She'll tell you what that means. The value system changes. There's a new value. And things, spiritual things, become more precious to us. And we realize this is the true future. Amen. These are the true riches that we're after. Jesus said, don't invest here where moth and rust will destroy. Invest there, where nothing will erode. Nothing will go wrong. Nothing will go bad. It's a good investment. Amen. Are we growing?
Yes, we are.
Did you locate yourself this morning?
Yes.
I did. I did preach to you. I preached to us. Thank God we may not where we should be, but we're not where we used to be.
Amen.
Because we're growing. And next year, this time, you want to look back and say, thank God, I've grown. I've grown away from some things, and I've grown into some new things. I'm looking a little more like Christ this year than I did last year.
Amen.
Amen. All right, let's all stand. Father, thank you for the word that speaks to us. Calls us to come up higher with you, to stand on a higher plane with you. Father, I pray that this morning this word will stick in our hearts and stay there and bear fruit, Lord, to your glory. I pray for my brothers and sisters, Lord. I pray that we will not be moved by feelings. We will not be moved by what we see. We know there's always things going on. But our eyes will be focused on you, fixed on you, the author and the finisher of our faith.